What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Casual KO. Getting into the groove again after taking a week off. Most of you guys probably didn't watch the Singapore event because it started my time, like 2 or 2:30. I forget exactly when it was. I did wake up and I watched it, threw on my UFC 292 shirt that just came in, you know, and watched that. I tried to drink. It was just too early in the day. I literally had one drink because I like drinking while I watch them. Tried to drink. I just couldn't do it, dude. It just made me tired. Like when the sun started coming up, I just started feeling like I wanted to sleep. So didn't work out for me. But I know you kind of had a fun weekend last week. Didn't get to watch much of the fights, even though they were kind of on a better time for you down in Australia. But what'd you get into and where you been?
Yeah, no, I mean, it was cool. It was still a cool experience having it on a Saturday night because I don't like ever since I've gotten into like hardcore watching MMA, like every single event, and that's been like a good probably 5 or 6 years now. Literally, there's never been a Saturday night event that I can remember, apart from maybe like, you know, like a road to UFC 4 fights late on a Saturday night, you know, stuff like that, but not an actual event. So that was cool. But yeah, man, I was at a party, so we had it on, but I didn't get to take in too many of the fights. I saw Blanchfield, Zombie, and I think I might have seen one of the other sort of prelim fights or something. But yeah, I one of the results that did shock me was old Waldo getting a knockout in like first round. I didn't see that live, and I saw it the next day. I was like, holy shit, that's crazy.
Yeah, he kind of fought a can, but yeah, Waldo is, you know, he's one of those heavyweights that just doesn't really throw. Even then, they constantly talk about how he used to be a pitcher and he throws that right like a baseball pitch and all this shit. It's like, when, you know? And he finally did it one time, and it was a good knockout. It still looked sloppy. And then I was curious if you ended up seeing Anthony Smith versus Ryan Spann.
Yeah, I did see that, and like I said, I was extremely loose, but in that state, I thought that Ryan Spann won. I don't know if I haven't looked to see if that's like a debate that people are having, if it was like a bad decision or whatever. But yeah, from where I was standing, which was everywhere, yeah. I thought I saw Ryan Spann win. I thought I was cashing that in, but apparently not.
I thought it was closer to a draw, and if there was going to be a winner, it would have been Anthony Smith, and I bet on Ryan Spann. But Ryan Spann's dead to me now, dude. I mean, like the guy, his fight IQ is Cyril Gane level. I mean, just like no desire to really win. Like the dude has one round in him. I was surprised that he stung Anthony Smith in round two.
I do remember standing there a few times, actually, now that you say that. I do remember being like, why isn't he finishing this? Like, he's got him hurt. Like, I remember saying that for like maybe 2.5 rounds or something.
Man, and then, it was nuts to see him, and the shot that dropped Anthony Smith wasn't a hard shot necessarily. He just caught him perfect. Like it was like almost like one of those ones where the glove slides and really fucks up your face, but it wasn't like it didn't look bad, but the damage was intense. And what does Ryan Spann do? He goes down to the ground with him and locks up with him on the ground instead of like just beating the shit out of him. Like I said, man, I'll never bet on the dude again. He's never going to be like any higher rank than he is now. I thought it was it just really solidified. Like this is the only dude that Anthony Smith has beaten in a while, and he's beaten him twice, you know? So he's not going to get anywhere higher than he is right now. And it's just kind of wild how he was like crying about not getting to fight the Ukrainian dude, and then goes out there, and when he has a chance in a co-main, which he should not have been in the co-main, it should have been Blanchfield and Santos, frankly, but you know, goes out there, has a huge opportunity to get one over and get right with somebody that beat him, and then just chokes like that, dude. Like the guy's, it's wild. But
I don't know if we've spoken since the O'Malley thing either, which, yeah, just
not on here.
Pretty fucking crazy. Yeah, not on here. Yeah. We've definitely spoke, but not on here. Yeah.
My 5 units cash, dude. That was one that, so I was ahead. So to update people on the game that we're running here, I was at 12,000 and change, and you were at like upper 11s last week, and now we flipped. So I'm at 11,891. You're at 12,173. So you got about a 200 to 300 lead on me right here. That's 3 units. Nothing crazy, but it did flip. It flipped about 600 units because I had that lead on you last week. And we're going into Paris, France. I will say I am going to be making a French style steak for this. It's basically peppercorns and like a brandy sauce that we're going to make on this steak that I'm going to be grilling that morning. So it's going to be fun.
This is a 2 a.m. card, I believe, for me. So I'm
Okay.
not 100% sure if it's a get up and watch all of it. We are thinking about it. I am thinking about it, and the missus was talking about like some crepes and stuff like
Okay.
that, like French sort of breakfast food.
Hey, I
But
dig it.
yeah, we'll see how we
Maybe a
go.
mimosa? You guys do that?
Yeah, I mean 2 a.m. in the morning, maybe not, but
Okay.
hey, we'll see what happens.
See
Yeah,
what
because I
happens.
usually like I will usually like go to bed at 10 if for one of these, and then I'll get up at 2. So it's
Right,
like I
right.
just have like a little 4 hour sleep. So it's almost like I'm waking up in the morning type thing. Like
Right.
you said, sometimes it's just when you're waking up, it's a bit too early to drink.
Dude, I was debating just staying up. And I knew I was thinking, I was like, no, I'm gonna make some bets. Like, I don't want to be placing bets on like no sleep. You know what I mean? Because I like to do mine live. A lot of people put their bets down long before the card starts. And when I get a little more cash, I might do that. But like for right now, like the way that I'm like the level that I'm at, I'm kind of cool with just like kind of riding into it. I don't like throwing down like $200 and just seeing what happens. I like starting with like 25 and like hopefully building on that. But I would say you don't have to wake up for the Zarafern. I can't even pronounce this girl's name. You don't have to wake up for that first fight of the night, but you might want to check out that Basharat fight, which should be the second fight of the night.
Pretty low,
So,
low down, eh? You would
yeah,
think
it's the
they're trying
second
to
fight of the
push
night.
the Basharat brothers, but yeah.
Strange, right? And he's fighting a good fighter, Clayton Rodriguez. It's going to be a good one. There's not much to be excited about on this up until I would say, I mean, the Irish dude's fighting is pretty fun. Loughran, that's like a Trevor Peak type dude.
Am interested in that fight, and I seen him going back and forward with Bilal Muhammad. And so he's like not even debuted yet, and he's already putting shit on Bilal Muhammad. So that made me take notice, because I was like, well, I like to put shit on Bilal Muhammad too. So if this dude who's not even debuted yet is doing it, maybe he's a fighter I might like.
Right. Well, do you see these Irish guys are cringy, man. Like every one of these guys tries to be like Conor McGregor. And man, I don't understand where all the Bilal Muhammad hate comes from, man. Like similar to Aljamain Sterling, dude. Like I never really got it. And then after, you know, his Sean O'Malley loss with Aljamain Sterling, it's like, dude, how can you hate the guy now? You know, like he took that loss so well. He didn't even like make any excuses at all. Told you know, Sean O'Malley, congratulations. Like he just lost really, really well. Like, you know, classy, classy, classy loss. And then he talked about how like he used to have to beg his parents and like his mom especially to come watch him wrestle in high school and shit. And he was getting like emotional, and you could tell he hated himself for losing, but he did not say one negative thing. I was really surprised, man, because I was thinking, you know, he's kind of a cringy dude. I thought he was gonna say some stupid shit. And like I said, just really class act. And same with Bilal, man. Like the dude gets a lot of hate, and I don't really get it. Like these dudes are good fighters. They're boring as shit, but you know, they're doing what they have to do, and they seem like good sports, like every time somebody's hating on them. So it is interesting. Some people are so beloved, and then some people are kind of hated.
Did you see how Dana's sorry? See how Dana's talking about the Merab and Aljo situation, and
Yeah, I
talking
love it.
about how I hope Merab gets cut. Like, nothing against the guy, I just think that would be hilarious. Like, it's just I like anarchy sometimes, and I just think that would cause some anarchy, and I just think it would be funny. 'Cause like, yeah, I mean, Dana has got a point, to be honest with you. Like, if you're up there and you're doing, like, you didn't want to take the championship fight, now you're turning down the potential fight because you want your teammate to get a rematch, and like, it
Right.
just doesn't work like that, bro. Like, that's just not how it works. Like, you're an employee. Like, he's literally an employee. Yes, that's his job. He's gonna do what the boss wants him to do, or you get fired. Like, it's
Yeah.
that simple. So
And all the people that
how
would want that opportunity that Merab has, and you can't even blame Aljo for like going back on his word. Like he doesn't have to make keep any promises to fucking Merab, you know what I mean? And like the dude wants that win back. Like, yeah, it does make Merab look like a total cuck, man. Like just really soft. And
I
just
see
like
you've
he's
been
like,
watching. I see you've been watching your MMA guru.
did he say that? Dude, I check him out. I check him out with some things. I saw he released something about that.
Yeah, he literally calls him a cuck. Like he's just like Merab's the biggest cuck in that UFC.
Really?
Like yeah, he just constantly like that's his thing that he says.
That's pretty funny, man. No, I started watching that dude a little bit when he took off his beanie because he made that huge deal and he made like the Dark Knight commercial for it. I don't know if you saw that. It was kind of funny, dude. And I was like, this dude's kind of cool. But no, I'm not a huge guru fan, man. And I think he also has a bunch of fake accounts that when, they're doing the press conferences, you'll see a bunch of people say like MMA Juru and like MMA Gayru and all these things. And I think that's him just making fun of himself to
He
try and get
honestly
attention.
does like he honestly does have a pretty rabid fan base from what I've seen. Because I'm not like I wasn't a fan, and now I'll occasionally watch his like if there's just some news controversy, whatever it is, I'll look to his take because it's usually just pretty comedic, and he'll just say some like wild shit. Like he's had he's had Paddy Pimblett in his comments, like in his live stream
And
comments,
Aljo.
talking to him, and that's what I mean. So it's like. There's people like watching and stuff, and like I just like that he's stirring the pot a bit. So like I've tuned in a bit lately, but yeah, I was watching one of his live streams lately, and he's fucking like a lot of people like in on the joke, in on the whole meme of it, like
That
posting
he's in a
shit about
wheelchair.
him, the whole wheelchair thing, like all this shit. Like they love it, man. Like a lot of people like that dude, which is like good on
He's
him.
cool.
Like I didn't realize it was like that until I started tuning in a bit more, and I was like, holy fuck, people are like, this dude's probably gonna get pretty big soon because like a
Sure.
lot of people tune in to him.
He's only 24, and he, I don't know if you remember, he went on the Timbo Sugar show too at one point, and they were kind of cool, and then he said that Jan was gonna beat Sugar, and then like he got all pissed about that. So now they like just talk shit to each other. But yeah, it's internet beef. But yeah, dude, I need to start watching the guy more. But that especially if he said that Marab was a cuck, because yeah, dude, that's just the only thing I can think of. Like it's like, it's weird. It is almost like he just wants everything for his dude over himself. Which is it's just a weird way to look at it. But whatever.
Yeah,
I'm
he
not in
goes
their
in on him
position.
saying he's like, "Oh, Aljo, you need to tell Marab that he can't sit in the corner and watch you and your missus this Valentine's Day. Like you need to cut him off." Like he just goes in, like it's just constant, like a 10-minute video just saying he's a cuck. It's
Oh,
pretty
that's
funny.
great, dude. I'm gonna have to watch that shit right away. Well, let's start with the first fight of the night, man. A pretty top-heavy card. We wanted to make this a quicker one. Not much energy should be put into this card. And I would recommend, man, just based off of what people have been saying, because I like to listen to some other, more I don't know, qualified voices out there, if we could say that. Everyone is saying that this card is full of traps. And I think that this first fight of the night is an interesting one. You've got Zarafern, a French woman, 39 years old though, which is strange. Versus Jacqueline Cavalcanti. UFC newcomer, this is her first fight here. She's doing pretty good. She's 5-1, but like she's fighting cans. And this is on a Portugal regional scene from what it seems like. Zarafern 0-3 in the UFC, but fighting decent competition, right? Not great competition, but decent. Jocene, I don't even know how to say her name, but Nunes, that short little dude looking chick. She's good. And she was teeing off on her, but there's about a 9-inch height difference between these two. So I don't know how this is gonna go. I lean towards Fern just because it's in France. She's gonna be, I think, the shorter woman in this one by 1 inch. So that'll be kind of interesting to see. But I don't know, man. Do you have one side on this or other? Because I'm not really willing to pull the trigger yet.
I just went Jacqueline by decision just based off the record and age and those sorts of things. Like, yeah, she's French, but doesn't always go that way. So I didn't look too much into it. I literally spent probably 2 minutes looking at this fight, and I just was like, yep, Jacqueline by decision.
Are you going to put any action on it, like with your real dollars?
I might put it in like a small parlay or something. Like sometimes as the cards go, I might go, oh, I'd like to put some money on this fourth fight, but if I can parlay up two of these first three, maybe I'll have more money to put on this fourth fight. So I might do something like that. You know, like if I've got $5 that I want to turn into 10 to put on something, then yeah, I might. But yeah, I'm not, there's no sharp bet that I have or anything for this fight.
Okay. Yeah, if you look at Cavalcanti's, history, she mostly does go to decision. But again, these are against some pretty low level competition. Her loss comes by a 3-2 girl, and 2-2-0-0 girls, a 6-8 girl she beat, 1-0, 4-1 on that was an LFA, which is obviously good, but PFL she lost on, right? And I don't know, man. It's hard. I want to go opposite of you, but I'm going to try and be a little more conservative this week. I'll go on the same side as you here, Jacqueline, for the sake of the game, but I might have some action. And I think that the value is on that side, realistically, on the Farron side there. So, real betting, I might actually take a stab, but it's going to be like $5, dude. You know what I mean? Like fucking crazy. So, something to think about there for people if you're watching. Now, the second fight of the night, much better. Again, this I wouldn't be surprised if this ends up kind of scooting up the card a little bit. This seems really weird when you see some of the fights that are after this. But you got a hot prospect, Clayson Rodriguez, versus like somebody that seems like the UFC is really trying to push, these Bash brothers, Fareed Bashrat, who is the lesser of the two, but went the distance with a really good fighter in Damon Blackshear. So that was a pretty good matchup. You see how good he is now, but I'm gonna lean for sure Fareed Bashrat. Everyone's on the side of decision here, just because Fareed doesn't really throw, like he doesn't sit on punches. He kind of chills and very technical boxing, pretty good ground game and whatnot. But I kind of think that Clayson might bring something out here and kind of rush something. Maybe the dude comes out quick in round one, and I'm kind of leaning with a Fareed knockout late, like two or three. I'd love to get a round three knockout because that's going to be crazy odds. But for the sake of this, I'll do Fareed knockout round three.
Yeah, I mean, definitely I'm on the Fareed side. And I'm not saying that because I think like Claydison's shit or anything.
He's good.
He's a good prospect. I
Beat
just think
your
Fareed's
favorite Australian fighter he beat last time, did Shannon Ross?
Yeah, old Shannon Ross. But I definitely think Fareed's a better prospect. And I would tend to lead the decision, but that's just it's not a style thing. It's more they both seem like pretty resilient guys. I
Right.
don't think Claydeson's ever lost by anything other than decision. And Fareed's never lost. And we've seen him, I wouldn't say take big hits, but we've seen him in fights where he's tested, where he's, nearly getting choked out by Damon Blackshear, things like this. And he gets through it. He doesn't look for a way out.
Right.
So yeah, but based off those things, and it's like I said, it's not even a style thing, it's just like a physical thing. I would probably just tend to lead a decision. But yeah, I think it's going to be a pretty cool fight
Yeah.
because like you said, both these dudes are they're both prospects, but they're both good prospects. So with different styles too. I
Yeah,
think
kind of.
Claydeson's more of like a stand-up guy with the ground skills, whereas Fareed's got like a lot of wins by submission.
Yeah.
And as you said, not really a sit-down puncher. Like it's not technically bad. He's not a bad stand-up fighter. It's just
Not at
not
all.
a sit-down power puncher. But yeah, I think it's going to be a good fight.
This is one too where if you're using Underdog Sports, the Underdog Sports book, going over on the Bashrat strikes, the significant strikes is something that I'm definitely gonna play for sure. But yeah, man, I could just for some reason see them kind of getting wrapped up on the ground and Fareed kind of catching Clayson in a weird spot on the ground and kind of like ground and pound TKOing him, and that's what I'm hoping for. Just to go a little bit against the whole crowd. I hate when everybody's on one side, one method. It's just a little suspicious, but moving up the card, this is yours, Nora Cornhole, and a lot of people pronouncing it cornhole, which I wish that it was cornhole. Keep it a fun game. Another French woman versus Pantera Jocelyn Edwards here. Pretty low level MMA on the women's side here, but what do you think? You got any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I haven't looked too hard into this fight, but I'm not really a big Jocelyn Edwards fan. I think I've said that before. I just Her face annoys me.
It is an annoying face.
Yeah, and I just don't like her fight style. She's another one of those people that's like, she's like a trap, like a Neil Magny or a Angela Hill, or like you don't really see her winning things, and then she does win things.
She lost this last fight, dude, to Lucy. She lost that. Or she
Yeah, well,
won.
there you go. So for that reason, I'm going to pick Cornhole for a KO.
Cornhole, huh? Okay.
Yeah,
You going round one?
no, well, what have I got here? I've got round three on my topology. I'd probably pick around two or three betting wise, like with no method, just round two, three. Not sure what the odds would be on that.
Be
She
high
does
because she
have.
gasses. She gasses quick, so be high.
Okay, there you go. And then now I'm like, I knew that she had like pretty much all finishes, but now I'm seeing like, yeah, four round ones and two round twos. But yeah, I haven't watched a fight of hers. I just knew of her record and sort of what she'd done. And yeah, hoping that it's kind of like a violent fight and we get a girl finish. I'll probably look to just do some not go the distances, things like that.
Now, she looks like she could be attractive, but I have not seen her face. So if she's not, don't hold me to that. But that's a decent side picture there, much more so than Jocelyn here. Now, again, I haven't seen her. If she looks like a dude, I don't want to hear it from anybody. But she's got a good record, man. 6-1. Again, fighting low level competition. She gasses pretty hard. I like, end of round one, even she's like shaking her arms out and stuff. And I think that a potential finish could come on the side of Edwards. So I will be disagreeing with you here on this one for the first time. You're going Cornhole. I will be going Edwards. I will not be putting any extra units on it, though, because like you, I'm not a fan of Edwards. She's pretty pretty weird. Something about that face, man. And she doesn't even really look like that in person, but her Tapology picture is like annoying as shit. Moving up the card here, fourth fight of the night. This is another one that seems really interesting. A lot of people going back and forth on it. Angelusa versus Reese McKee, and I might be butchering his name. This dude is one of the guys that got just annihilated by Khamzat. This is his fifth fight back 3 years ago, and then he was kicked out of the UFC, went to Cage Warriors, put together three finish wins.
Became the champ again in Cage Warriors.
But Cage Warriors, we've kind of realized sucks lately, right? I mean, you get people like Patty, you get people like who's the best
Connor.
prospect to come out lately of Cage Warriors?
I know there's someone. I just can't remember who. I think Muhammad Mackay was in Cage Warriors.
Okay.
I know there's someone that was like recently debuted. I'm pretty sure that was pretty high up in it, but I'm just blanking.
Okay.
It's decent. There's people that decent people come out of there. Like I know what you're saying, like in terms of like overall
Overall,
competition
yeah.
as like a long run type of thing, but good prospects do come out of it. Talent will
Right.
shine through, but the UFC has that deal where they can just grab you straight out of there whenever they want. So, they don't typically stay there for very long.
Yeah, man. And this is an interesting one here, too. This dude going the distance with Jack Della Maddalena, Angelusa is that was. This is back in Cage Wars. He lost, or I'm sorry, in a Contender Series. He lost that. Goes back to whatever this is, ex-MMA. Never heard of it. Probably a pretty shitty regional scene out of looks like Switzerland. But I'm gonna be going with Angelusa. This is another dude that kind of gasses. It seems like he's a big dude. He hits hard too. I think he could knock this dude out, man. But what I would really go with, and what I would like bet, if you're gonna bet, is the under, especially if it's at 2.5. I think one of these dudes gets a finish. It'd be good to have either one of them in your DraftKings lineup if you're doing something like that. But I'm going to go Angelusa, probably knock out round one or two. If you're putting a gun in my head, I'm going to say probably round one. I think he does this pretty quick. And I think he's being brought back to make this prospect that I think the UFC wants to do well. I think that they want to make him look good. So Angelusa, round one knockout.
Yeah, I'm going with Reese McKee round three knockout.
Okay.
I just think, yeah, he had he his big debut was when he came in with Khamzat, and they like his team was all excited for him because like I watched a little bit of him, like I knew who he was when he was debuting against Khamzat. I didn't know who Hamzat was. I picked Rhys McKee in that fight because I knew who Rhys McKee was. Like, he was a good kickboxer who won Cage Warriors Championship. And I was like, yeah, this dude's going to win. And then we found out who Hamzat was. And then he had a bad run in his next fight with Brandon Moreno. Not Brandon Moreno, Brandon Marone. What is it? Morono? I forget
Alex
his first
Morono.
name. Marone, Alex Morono. That's what it is. Yeah. And then he went back to Cage Warriors, had a good run, won the belt again. The UFC have picked him up again. And yeah, I think he's going to be able to get the KO, man. I think it's going to be a bit later, like as you said, when Angelusa may gas out. I think it was Angelusa you were referring to. That does, yeah. So I think he would gas too, just from his size, muscle proportions, and that sort of thing. Rhys McKee, he's literally named Skeletor. He's a big, tall, skinny dude that's good at kicking and shit.
Got 4 inches on
Yeah.
his opponent here.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be like a bit of a dismantling and then, yeah, late KO, in my opinion. And I will, fuck it, why not? I'll put one extra unit on him too, because I have already got bets on him.
Okay.
Money line. So
You're not concerned
I
about his
feel like
wrestling?
my thing is just like this is his second chance. Like if you fuck this up, you fucked up your like you put yourself in his position. You know what I mean? Like it's just like you're getting your second chance. Like
Yeah.
you better not fuck it up. And I'm just kind of banking on the fact that maybe he's gonna pull that dog out of him and he's gonna be like, I'm not gonna fuck this up, and he's gonna get it sort of get a run going. But hey, it might not happen, but yeah, this is one of the underdogs I'm reasonably confident on.
I like it. I think it's your only
The
one so
rest,
far, right?
well,
No,
yeah, I
Cornhole, I
guess,
think. Cornhole
yeah.
was the
I mean,
underdog.
it's pretty much even that fight, so
Right.
I guess we wouldn't really call that an underdog. But yeah, the wrestling does. I did say to someone at work, I was like, I hope in those 3 years, we've worked a little bit on takedown defense. But again, Hamzat's a different, like, Hamzat and Angelusa.
Yeah,
Like,
it's a little bit of
you
a
know what I
difference
mean?
there. But Alex
Yeah.
Morono took him down quite a few times, I believe, too.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Let me double check this actually, because we can see on UFC stats. I think it might have been three takedowns. So he might have, I mean, obviously take him down. Yeah, he took him down 3 times. And I would say Angelusa is comparable to Alex Morono. Obviously, Hamzat gets you down one time and that's it. But yeah, three takedowns for Alex Morono in their fight. I don't know, man. We'll see. Obviously, we're going head to head on this one. I really do think that Angelusa gets it done pretty early, and but it's a damn fight. We won't know until we know. So, this next one's yours. Fifth fight of the night: Taylor Lapilis. I'm gonna go with a Frenchman versus shit, Cowlin Lofren. I will go with right. What are
Yeah,
you
I
What are
mean,
you going with here?
so this is the Irish guy we were talking about before. I'm kind of interested in him. He was just talking a bit of shit, but I honestly don't know either of their fight styles. I haven't watched either of their fights, and I don't have a side in this yet. It's a fight that I want to look a little bit more into, and I will watch some fights before it happens. For the sake of this, I'm actually gonna lean. I'm gonna go with Taylor. Just based off the record, man, like he's had 21 fights. He's only lost three of them. He just seems like he's had a lot more experience, MMA Factory, good gym. These guys are relatively the same size. 31 isn't old. You could say, yeah, guy's young, 27, but I mean, 31's kind of your prime. It's not like he's, 34, 35. Yeah, I don't know, man. I know. There you go. Lapoulos is a favorite. I didn't realize that. That might have changed because I believe he was the underdog at one point.
I think he was always the favorite when they dropped it. It might be moving around a little bit now. But yeah, because Tapology doesn't really update the numbers
Yeah.
from when they drop it. But look at Lapilus's number. Lapilus, is that what we're going with? Look at his numbers here. Pretty busy striker, it looks like. I mean, outstriking all of his opponents with the exception of his loss that came in round three. That's wild. 20 strikes thrown in a 3-round fight. And then 63, 31, 80. He's knocking dudes down in fights. Apparently he knocked Eric Perez down and then still lost to him. But the style of this Irishman is, like I said, like Trevor Peak. Like he just throws, dude, hard, and like he'll get hit, and that's what's kind of it's going to be interesting when he's hitting somebody like Double Impact here. And I don't know, man. It's going to be a good one, I think, but I'm tending to agree with you. Do you have a method, round, anything like that?
I mean, from what you're saying, like I said, I will watch tape on both of these guys because I do want to know more about this Irish guy, especially after you're saying, like, if he fights like that, that's my style of fight. I like that shit. It's funny. But yeah, I would have to lean with a KO. I'll go out the classic round two. I think that's pretty good. Lapillus KO round two. I think that's from everything that you're saying to me, and from what I can see, I think that's probably a good move.
Yeah, he's got a lot of round twos, doesn't he?
Oh, that's okay. Yep.
Yeah, his last four wins are coming all over the place, really, in round two. Earliest is 1:44 in, latest is 3:46 in. But yeah, man, round two, I think that's kind of a trend here. He's probably going to feel this dude out a little bit. But yeah, round one, round two knockout, I think, is live for either one of these dudes, really. But I don't know if this Laughlin dude can be knocked out at his current age. He's, you know, the younger dude by 4 years. And he's in his prime, obviously, you know, Lapillus is too, but it seems like this dude's a prospect that they actually want to do well. So it'll be interesting to see how the two Irish, cage warriors do, you know what I mean? Back to back like that. So it'd be a fun parlay, honestly, but I just don't know if I can get behind Rhys McKee until he actually, shows something here. But, so you're going Laughlin round two.
Lapillus.
You're not going with the Irish guy?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I'm going with Lapillus. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And I am going to do the extra unit on Laughlin here. Just one. Cool. Yeah, threw me a curveball there. I thought you were going with the Irish guy. Okay, this fight should be pretty fucking boring, these next two, really. I'm torn here because you got an extremely low volume dude versus an Italian fighter. And you know how I feel about the Italian fighters. They suck, is what I really do honestly think. I don't think that any of them are good. You got Morgan Cherrier, okay, French guy.
The pirate, the last pirate.
Yeah, which is strange. I don't know if that means like the gate, like the butt pirate thing, like what that is, because he does not look like a pirate. Versus Manolo, everyone's calling him Zucchini. I'm going to go Zucchini is probably what it really is, but you know, this Zucchini dude, he's kind of wild, goes out, throws, not very good. I think his last, so he's another debutant. We've got a lot of debuting fighters here. Don't be surprised if this dude, Morgan, goes out there and throws 10 strikes for this entire fight. We can look at his.
Oh, I actually know of the last pirate, man, because I've watched his last three fights in Cage Warriors live. Because I actually he was on Aerial like years ago, and then I was like, oh, who's this dude? And then I started watching his fights. Actually, they didn't mind the guy, and I just to jump ahead, I think he might get the knockout here. I think they're trying to set him up because he's actually got a huge like YouTube fan base.
Okay,
like I think he's got like over 1 million subscribers or something on YouTube. Like he's like the French Sean O'Malley type thing. Not you know what I mean? Like
followers. 163,000.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's for someone that's like not even in the UFC yet. You know what I mean?
Okay.
You're like he's very popular. He's done like a reality TV show and like all this sort of shit. So he's pretty popular, and I feel like the UFC really want to build this guy because he's the type of guy, like I said, he could be at the Sean O'Malley. Because he's already just got such a large following, hasn't even fought in the UFC yet. And then he gets to the UFC, keeps doing his social media. The UFC loves that shit, especially with their new fucking 360 deals, basically, that they have, where they get a cash in every fighter's. If you start a business, the UFC get to take money from that.
Yeah.
So I really think they're trying to push this Morgan dude. Yeah. And I think it's a possibility that he can get the KO. Yeah.
On my screen, your head is lined up perfectly with the guy on the right with the button-up shirt. And it just looks like you're just sitting there with that dude. It's pretty funny. Yeah, this guy, this Italian dude that he's fighting, you know, looks far less popular. Like I said, he seems like he just goes out there and just throws caution to the wind. And if this low volume striker in Morgan can actually like kind of wake up a little bit and get something going. Both young dudes, both similar size. I tend to agree. I like to think that they're matching up these French dudes with people that they can beat. So I'll go Morgan here and I'll throw an extra unit on him as well. It's not going to do much for me, but I'll put an extra unit on him.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm just having a look at these. Like, I'm looking up the card at the odds. I may put one on him, but I'll leave it for now because that's like, yeah, there's not much value to be made from it, but there's also not much to bet on with our extra units in this
Yeah.
card for me, anyway.
Yeah, I don't see too much. I've got something a little later in the card that might be fun, but so we're agreeing there. We're both leaning with a knockout. Are you going round two, classic?
What do I have locked in on my topology? I do have the round two, but I think it's actually a possibility. I think that's kind of the realm where I think it could possibly happen.
Okay.
Unless he just wants to show off and show out, you know, and he runs out there and he does some crazy shit. But yeah, I think in my opinion, the side is Morgan here. The UFC definitely want to push this guy. He is a money maker.
Yeah, I could see round one, man, just because this Sakini guy coming out there just throwing like a fucking madman and getting caught. Dude's a good counterpuncher in Morgan. So we don't need to spend too much time on the seventh fight of the night. William Gomez, another very low volume. I mean, a lot of these French dudes are low volume, fighting another low volume Frenchman, Yannis Gomory. I'm going to go Gomez by a boring decision. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if Yannis took this, but William Gomez decision.
Yep, same as me. Yeah, don't mind Gomez. But yeah, he's a bit of a decisionator.
Yeah.
But I think it's a safe bet to go with him.
Sure. I think the odds reflect that, if I'm not mistaken. Let me double check and then we can just move right on here.
Look, I'll put a unit on him because his odds are better than Morgan's. So, and
Okay.
I think he's got just as much of a chance to win
Yeah,
as
I'll
Morgan.
follow
So
you on that. I'll do an extra unit there too.
I'll put the unit on him.
So far you got one on the Irishman and a Frenchie, and I've got an extra unit on a friend on an Irish guy too, and then two Frenchies. So we're all over the place here. There's a lot of different countries represented in this, but
Very European card.
yeah, European heavy for sure. This one's gonna be kind of cool too. Even though I'm not a big Volkan fan, but Volkan Ozdemir versus Bogdan Guskov. I'll let you lead here since I led that last one, but I do have an opinion on this for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big Volkan fan either. He always seems so old to me, even though he's like 33. I
Yeah.
feel like he's been in the UFC for like 10 years and shit, and I just feel like he's an old man. Don't like his record of as of late. I don't understand even why he's the favorite. I don't even understand why at the very least this fight isn't a pick 'em.
Well, there's Anthony Smith here. I mean, look at this guy. This is Anthony Smith.
Yeah.
The competition that he's fought. That's why.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's fair. But I just think Volkan's like pretty washed, man.
Yeah.
You know, he beat Paul Craig by a decision, and then, you know, yeah, he lost to Jiří Magomed, but then he also lost to Krylov, who I don't hold very highly.
Right.
Yeah, man, I think he's washed, and I think this Bogdan dude wins. I'm tempted to throw a unit on it and a unit on him, but I think there's other places I'd rather put the unit. Yeah, it's tempting. Well, let me
I'm
just have
doing
a
it.
quick thing. You
I'm doing it.
are? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let me. I will say I think the KO is live. I think the round one KO is live.
Yeah.
So I'm looking in Guskov KO round one. And while you say your piece, I'm going to have a think about if I'll put the unit on.
Yeah, man. Vulcan is chinny. You know, he got this nickname No Time because he was knocking dudes out quick. But if you go back and see where he was knocking these people out inside, you know, a minute, it was back here inside of 30 seconds. Misha Serkinov, obviously, you know, a decent name, not a great fighter by any means anymore. I don't even know. Is he still fighting? Oh yeah, he is for
I don't
sure.
think he is.
Yeah, I remember this dude. He fought fairly recently, lost to Alonzo Manafield. Hasn't fought this year though, by the way. But yeah, Misha Cirkunov got knocked out in 28 seconds, and back to back, Jimmy Manua got knocked out.
Manoa. Yeah, I know who that is. Yeah.
Okay. Loses Daniel Cormier, that's fine. Anthony Smith, Dominic Reyes, and then these are the ones where you can start kind of like actually gathering how he might fight. You mentioned Paul Craig. This is before the Bear Jew moved down to 185. He's not touching him in that weight class, dude. I think that, dude, I actually think Paul Craig could really be a contender in this class. He called out
Oh,
Bo
so,
Nickel.
yeah. I think he could. Yeah, I'm, and I like that fight
That'd be
because
sick, dude.
who did he beat?
Bo Nickel?
No, who did Paul Craig beat at middleweight?
The jiu-jitsu dude.
So I wanted Bo Nickel to fight Andre Muniz. I'm pretty sure I said this on a
Yeah,
podcast. I
Muniz.
said it to a bunch of mates. I wanted Bo Nickel to fight Muniz. I thought that was a good test for him.
Oh,
Then
yeah,
Paul
no.
Craig goes out there and beats Muniz. So now I was like, he should fight fucking Paul Craig then. And then Paul Craig calls him out. And I was like, incredible. That's literally the fight I want to see. I want to see that step up for Bo. Maybe Bo goes out there and knocks him out in 30 seconds, whatever.
Yeah,
It's
I
still the
doubt it.
fight. It's still the step up in competition that I want to see. I just think it's so cool that the call outs are almost happening organically and
Yeah.
shit. So it's like, yeah, sick. I really do hope that is both of their next fights because
I
I
would
really want to
almost,
see that.
dude, I would almost bet that, because this is going to be a main event against Brendan Allen, which is a great fight too. I think that whoever wins the Brendan Allen Paul Craig fight actually gets Bo Nickel. I think that's what happens. Because they want to move Bo Nickel up. They're trying to slow roll him. Like, I don't, next time Bo Nickel goes out, dude, I don't want him to fight some dude that literally is getting like a last minute replacement. Even when he was going to fight, whoever, the Trayshawn Gore, dude, he was going to absolutely destroy him. Like, it was like, I think he was a -1,000 favorite in that. It's like, let's get somewhere where it's like three digits instead of, four, upper fours, even mid fours. But yeah, dude, Guskov is doing the same thing that Ozdemir used to do. His last two fights, yes, lower level competition, knocking dudes out in half a minute. I think that's why they made this matchup. Bogdan is the fresher dude. He's the younger dude by 3 years, way less mileage on him. The taller guy, hits like a fucking truck. I'm very confident in Bogdan getting a round one knockout here.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to agree with you. I saw that tall bloke at work and they were very surprised. And I was like, think about it, dude. Vulcan's fucking washed. I don't know why people are surprised by this. But yeah, I guess, like you said, quality of competition, debutant, but I still think he's going to get it done.
And a lot of people are saying that Bogdan's going to get fraud checked here. Like, a lot of people are saying that. We'll see. You know what I mean? Like, I could be wrong. Like,
Yeah, it could happen. Could
of course.
absolutely could happen. But yeah, I just I don't get that feeling.
So you're staying off the extra unit.
I'm gonna stay off the extra unit. Yeah.
Okay. Now this is when these last three fights of the night are actually really, really good fights. Benoit Saint-Denis, the God of War versus Thiago Moises. Now, do you think there's a little bit of recency bias here because Benoit Saint-Denis absolutely goes in and obliterates Ismael Bonfim, who is the guy that's lost every one of his fights by submission, goes in against a great grappler because he's ex-special forces in France, which who gives a fuck? It's France. Obviously the dude's tough. I'm just kidding, but he's fighting a very, very capable fighter. Thiago Moises is phenomenal, man. Like, this is a tough one to call, and I think no matter which way you go, it makes sense. I think Tapology is on the side of Benoit, recency bias. No one's given Moises really much of a chance, and that's suspicious to me. I am going to go with Benoit, though. I think the dude's just too tough, and I think that this will probably go the distance.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you said. Initially, I was looking towards the Moises side, but ultimately, I am going with Benoit. That's what I decided. I did look into this fight a little bit more because Benoit kind of snuck up on me. I kind of thought he was like a shit fighter back in the day. He's kind of proving that he's not really. Like, he's proving that he is a pretty fucking decent fighter.
Yeah, man.
I think what was his last? What was that loss? Who was that to? Yeah, okay. So I remember that kind of did put me off a little bit. And I was like, oh, this, what was his win before that one? Before the
Let's go.
loss?
Let's look Google. I don't know
Yeah.
how to pronounce this dude's name. Elizu Zaleski. That was his
Yeah,
loss.
I
And
mean
then his.
that's pretty spot on.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think coming in, I had watched a bit of tape on him, kind of like knew a little bit about him, and then I was like, all right, he's gonna show out, and then he lost that fight, and that kind of made me go, ah, oh, big fraud checked, basically. Like, you know, he was undefeated coming in, then bang, loses on his debut, and then that's kind of what like put me off him, and then he's gone on a run in the UFC, and then as of late, the Bonfim
Finishes.
fight. Yeah, and like you said, the Bonfim fight is recency bias, and it's a quick finish, which sometimes can be, you know, not, I wouldn't say fluke, but quick finishes can, you know what I mean? When you run a quick finish to an algorithm, it might not always be a quick finish, is what I'm saying. Like, you know what I mean? It doesn't always tell the whole story. But yeah, I tend to like. After the Bonfim fight, that was kind of where I went, fuck, this guy's actually a lot better than I thought. Like,
Yeah.
I kind of thought he was shit because he had this one loss. And now he's had three wins since then that are all finishes. And he's doing them at times like he did it at the Canada card. I'm pretty sure he, like, got a, like, you know, it was a lot of pressure, got the job done. So yeah, I'm actually going to put two extra units on him. I feel like this is a close fight. I do agree with you that Thiago's good, but man, I think this Benoit dude is just a really good fucking fighter, and
Well,
I
so
doubted him, and I probably shouldn't have. And when I say that, I'm not talking about championship, but I'm talking
right.
about a legit good contender, legit good talent.
He's not even
Like,
ranked, so he's one of these guys that should be ranked, right?
yeah, I would agree. Top, like between 10 and 15.
My question before we move on is who, in your opinion, is a better striker? Because these dudes are both like excellent ground players, right? The body kicks that he was unleashing on Bonfim were wild. I mean, like if you could, and you knew that they were hurting Ishmael too, because he kept telling him like, do it again. You know, it's like whenever a fighter's doing that, it's hurting. Like they're trying to poker face it. I mean, dude, if you catch somebody in the liver, that's wild, dude. Isn't that nuts? The freaking bantamweight champion, Sean O'Malley. I think if you catch somebody in the liver with that, man, they're going down. Like, that those were hard. Let's see, he's a welterweight, right?
lightweight, I believe, which is pretty crazy since it's a stacked division.
Yeah, it's very stacked. I'm trying to double check here where they will be fighting.
Yeah,
Because
he's
usually
lightweight.
it is. Okay.
Yeah. Well, he is a lightweight. I said, yeah. So it is at lightweight too, because they're both lightweights there. So.
Okay, cool. Yeah, 155. Okay, just double checking. So yeah, he's definitely not ranked in that division. But he could be, man. I mean,
Yeah, I
he's
mean
probably better
Dago
than Ferreira.
Ferreira. Yeah, that's what. Yeah, Matt Frivola possibly.
Definitely better than Moicano,
Moicano,
dude.
you reckon? I like Moicano. I think he's got some skills, man.
It's just his personality, I think, that a lot of people like, man. And the dude doesn't
Yeah,
fight
Money
anymore.
Moicano.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is pissing me off. He should be like trying to capitalize on this whole fucking thing that he's doing.
He's doing YouTube right now a lot.
Yeah, Twitch and all that sort of stuff.
Matt Frivola would be a dope fight with them too.
Yeah.
Benoit and Matt Frivola, but we'll see. Well, he's got to get through this first. And I think Moises was ranked at one point too. I think he's kind of maybe I'm
Well,
wrong
he's
there.
ranked 18 there, so I mean that would. You know, he's probably ranked 15 at one point, maybe.
Okay. Yeah,
Yeah.
I remember hearing the name, but never really putting it to a face. One of those kind of sneaky guys, but yeah, man. So we agree. Are you going with a method or are you just going decision?
I'm going KO.
Okay.
Probably early too, maybe one or two. Yeah,
Wow.
I like it.
All right.
And I don't know what the odds are. I'm gonna have a look. They're probably big.
I'm gonna get a little crazy with this card if I can, just because it's early, you know what I mean? I'm gonna be grilling. So, you know, we're gonna have some fun. But I have no idea what just happened there. We got in the co-main event, Manon Farrow. I've been trying to work on my pronunciation, but I don't want to get too crazy here. Versus Rose Namajunas, man. Hear me out, dude. I think that there's some more recency bias here. I know Manon is good, but I mean, the more accomplished mixed martial artist by far is Rose, like by a lot. Dude, I mean, for the reason of, like, I, you know, a lot of people and myself included, I'm waiting on hearing how she's going to talk in the interviews, like the media day. She knows that she put on one of the worst performances and was probably part of the worst fight in UFC history. She knows that. Like, she said it straight up. Like, yeah, that was probably one of the worst fights for the company. Like, she said that. I don't know. Did you happen to watch
I did not interview? Hear that, no. No, yeah, I've not heard her say that.
She's very aware.
It's good that she's fucking saying that, because when she had an interview with Ariel, they were like not saying that. So hopefully she's not just saying that, and they've actually sat down and been like, yeah, look, this was shit.
Yeah, and I think that she gets some bad guidance from her weird boyfriend husband thing.
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be great if he would like not be in her corner, but I know that he's like, you know, somebody that helped her get to where she got. I just don't for the life of me understand having two wins over someone like Weili Zhang and leaving that division. I mean, that is nuts. Like, she could go back there and fight for that belt anytime. And maybe that's her plan, is to get the 125 belt and then go down and maybe be a double champ. She didn't mention that, but I really do like how she's saying, like, yeah, that fight was bad. Before that though, dude, she's nuking girls, man. Like, what she did to Weili. Yeah, I was just looking
at their height. Because I knew that, yeah, she's quite saying, like, her power may translate, but she's losing size whether the power translates or not. She's losing because Manon fights at 125. She probably walks around 135, 140 right. even maybe. You know, I doubt Rose walks around anything even over 130. You know, I would say, well, she did have to bulk up for this fight. And I would say she has to. She wouldn't be cutting for this fight. I would say she would almost be consuming calories to keep that weight on at this weight, which maybe. Is crazy. Like, there's not a lot of people that have to do that. Or, you know, as it comes to fight week, you just trade in that side of chips for a salad or something, like, right. once a week. Like, I really don't think she has had to stack stuff on to get here. And whereas I feel like Manon's cutting to get here. Yes, the power translates, but it's like,
is she going to slow down?
Yeah, I just, like, I'm in total agreement with you about the whole weight change thing. It kind of doesn't really make sense. You beat the champion twice and then you go up to a division you have to put all a bunch of muscle on for. Like, what? It's kind of weird.
Yeah. I think that the UFC, so hear me out with my conspiracy on this, okay? I think that the UFC wants a Chinese champion because of that market over there. And Weili is the easiest one. You know, no one else is going to do it for a little while. Maybe Song can at some point. He's so young that I would guess that he could probably do that. We're talking 5 years from now. But right now is the time that they want a Chinese champion. Weili's the girl to do that. I'm not saying Faro's going to, like, take a dive, right? But I think that they're trying to do this. They're trying to give Rose the opportunity. And I would imagine that they told her, or she knows, that if she gets this win over Faro, she gets to fight for the belt. She gets to hop over Blanchfield and all these other girls because of what she did at 115. Now, yeah, again, the bad performance and all this stuff. But, dude, the recency bias in MMA is so real. Like, all the fans, all the cappers, all these people just go based off the last performance. And they say, like, oh, she's a head case, which is true. She is very much. She's got, like, you know, she admits to having, like, mental health issues or whatever the fuck it's called. But, you know, it's tough seeing a 10-1 on a girl like Manon Faro and just how badass she is. Her striking's insane. But I think Rose is the more well-rounded fighter, man. And that's where my extra unit's going to go. My fifth final unit of the night is going to go on the dog here in the co-main, man. I think it's compelling. And I think, dude, there's no reason. If she didn't have that shitty performance, she wouldn't even be here in the first place because she'd be fighting Zhang and probably beat her for a third time. But I mean, just look at who they fought, man. Like, I got to go with Rose here, and I'm putting that extra unit.
I am going to go with Fiora by decision. I had to toss up whether I was going to choose her by finish. I don't think she couldn't finish Takagi, and she couldn't finish so many chicks. But it was just the weight thing and the way Rose is, and... But I'm gonna stick with Manon. I'm gonna stick with decision. I absolutely could be wrong on this. That's why I'm not putting any extra units or anything like that. I haven't even got a bet laid down on this fight. Yeah, this is a weird one. Like I said, it's just weird for so many reasons. And
If it makes you
Manon is a beast, and she's
if
named the beast. So,
but against a thug, I don't know what a beast does, you know what I mean? She's
that's
not really,
true.
she's not much of a thug anymore, but we'll see, dude. Like I said, I think she had a little lapse in judgment. This dipshit fucking coach of hers, husband, told her she was winning this. She said that she, you know, she thought that she would go in there, and if it was an even performance like that, you know, she would get the belt. It was a bad decision. That's all that it was. She could have absolutely at any time knocked out Carla fucking Esparza. You know what I mean? Like that's an easy knockout for someone like Rose. But if it makes you feel better, everyone is on that side of Pharrell. Like everyone's saying, like, dude, Rose is done, Rose is washed, which I don't think is true at all.
No, I don't think that's true. I think she's an absolute fucking head case, like you said, but I don't think she's washed. She's got skills, man. She's a fucking skilled fighter.
So we'll see, man. Like, you know, neither one of us is wrong for picking this until we're wrong. So, like, we'll see where it goes. But I am confident, man. I think that she just fucked up. And I think that there's a reason that she moved up because it doesn't make any sense. There's got to be a reason. So, it wasn't just like, well, we fucked up. Let's move up. You know, she could have gotten the belt back very quickly if she just tried. And the UFC loves her too. So, there's a reason she moved up here. And I think that she's going to make good on that. So we'll see. But I'll let you take this main event, man. A lot of people, you know, going all over the place here with Ciryl Gane versus Sergey Spivak. A lot of people saying this dude looks like a vampire. He's 600 years old. What do you think? He
He
kind of.
does though. Only when you say that he does, but it's not a vibe I got from before. But yeah, now that you say that, there's like so many vampirish things about him.
I
Not
mean,
in
look
that
at him.
photo. It's only that other photo really,
I
but
mean, he's
I'm
got the
getting the
pink around the
vibes.
eyes.
The other photo just is like mass vibes
I'll look up some better pictures and
that.
you can tell me
Yeah.
what you think about the fight.
Yeah, man. I've been I everyone like it, well, not everyone, but you know, you hear a lot of people saying, oh, he's just going to take him down and he's going to choke him out like John Jones did. Man, Sergey Spivak is not John Jones, you
You
know.
see that?
Yeah, that's he's pretty white in the face there. Yeah, and Sergey's not really a wrestler. He's a judo guy, which is like grabs and throws.
Right.
And if he can't get in and get a throw, like he's got to grab and then throw. Like Jones just fucking grabbed him and just used all his weight and pulled him down using like quick grabs and wrestling. He's fucking ugly there, isn't he?
I mean,
And yeah,
he looks like he's taking a shit, and then this
he
guy
does.
just looks, I mean, yeah, they're rough looking right there.
Yeah, no, I think Cyril's probably just going to pick him apart, and once Sergey kind of realizes that he can't like get a hold and do a throw, he's just going to be a fish out of water, standing up and throwing wild overhands, throwing big hooks, jumping forward, trying to score something lucky, and you know, he's just going to fucking do what he did to Ty. Cyril's just going to do what he did to Ty and just pick him apart. And probably just gonna get the perfect shot. It's a 5-round fight, and if you think that fucking Sergey Spivak can stand longer on the feet than Tai Tuivasa did with Cyril, you're crazy. So I don't think it makes it past the third. I think Cyril gets the KO.
This was a tough one for me to really land on, but I think he's the younger man, 28 years old, which is wild being that size. Cyril's gotta be. I mean, if this dude's in his 20s, I'm gonna call bullshit. Okay,
Also,
33.
my extra units on Cyril, that
Your
last
last unit.
unit. Yep.
All right, cool. Cyril plus one. So yeah, you got two on Saint Denis, two extra, so three total, and then two on Gone. I don't know, man. He's younger. Like, it's really tough to go 100% on this. And I would be kind of doing what I'm criticizing everyone else doing for Rose, saying that Gone is a head case because, dude, he performed like a head case against John Jones. The one thing he had to do was not get taken down. People were actually thinking that Gon was going to be competitive with Jones on the feet, right? He could have been, but he did the one thing that he couldn't do, and that was throw a shitty shot. Like he acted like he didn't know what he was doing. He didn't train or something. He was just playing fucking FIFA. And, you know, if he ends up getting like, I mean, that was an embarrassing performance for a big paycheck, I'm sure. But it's so hard for me to go one way or the other on this, man. Like, super, super hard. But I think I'm going to go with Gon. You know, Sergey Spivak's wife is fighting in the finals in the PFL. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. I'm just looking back at Sergey's, like, older fights. Like, was he a fucking light heavyweight at one point?
He might have been.
Because I feel like he's a... What was this? Weight class heavyweight. What did he weigh in at? I feel like he's just a super... motivated, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, unfucking disciplined heavyweight.
Spivak?
Something just threw me off here. If you go to Spivak's record,
mm-hmm.
and scroll down, like, to some of his first fights, and look at the dude Travis Fulton that he fought, and look at his record.
Wow. 255, 53, and 10 draws.
What the fuck?
The Iron
that
Man
just threw me through a loop seeing that, and I was just like, am I reading this right? What the fuck is this?
Well, you know who Jay Ellis is, right?
Yeah. This is like a new version of that, but he's got more wins and losses.
Yeah, Jay Ellis is 16-108, for those that don't know. Look him up. I mean, the guy, you tell that he gets hit in the face for a living. Look at that, dude. I mean, the poor guy's cross-eyed. Yeah, man, this guy, he's 1,008th in the United States.
He's got 100 knockouts and 149 submissions and only 8 wins by decision. He's an absolute finishing machine, dude. He's got 249 finishes.
Yeah, that's pretty good. He's gotten finished 40 times.
That is insane, dude. Where is this dude? Like, why the fuck do we not know of this guy? What a king.
He was in the UFC. I just don't know where. It must have been a while ago. That was probably two of his losses, honestly, because you'd think that they want someone like this in there.
This guy's sick. He's got some of my new favorite fighters.
Quite a few boxing matches, too. Is that a boxing record now that we're thinking about it?
No. Well, I mean, some of them are boxing, but not all of them. Like, I think, yeah, like only the... He fought Andrei Arlovsky, dude. I mean, he lost to him by head kick, but...
I mean, yeah, look how long you got to scroll. Did he fight Bilal Muhammad? Hold on. No, this is Bilal. You just don't see too many people named Bilal. And that was at Kickfest 2006. I mean, the guy's been fighting. Let's see.
Dylan Sherman.
Dude, this has he been
insane,
fighting
since... Dude.
He's been fighting since 1996.
He fought Pat Barry in Muay Thai.
Oh, Pat Barry, Rose's dude?
Yeah. Yeah, in Muay Thai.
So he started back in 1996.
Well, his Tapology recorded history started in 1996. I'm sure he's been fighting since before then.
True, but yeah, he doesn't have any like amateur bouts or anything listed here.
That is insane, man. Dude. I'm glad we stumbled across this guy.
Yeah, he's a true pioneer of the game. It just sucks that he's not in the UFC anymore. That'd be kind of cool. Like, everyone's all high on Jim Miller. Jim Miller doesn't hold a candle to this guy.
Imagine Bruce Buffer reading this record out.
Yeah. At 257 to end 55 losses. I mean, 55 losses, man. Like, that's obviously the win to loss ratio is phenomenal. Dude, I thought he fought in the BKFC.
That's like being 10-2. He's literally, his percentage is like being 10-2.
Yeah.
It's a pretty decent record, man.
Yeah, it's great. It's kind of crazy to think like the dude's been knocked out 10 times and then submitted 30 times. Like, most people don't even fight that much. You know what I mean? Like, Anthony Smith has had 50 something fights and this dude's lost that many times. And 10 draws is kind of mind blowing.
I mean, if you have like fucking 300 fights, you're going to have some draws thrown in.
Yeah. I mean, that's wild.
Man. He fought a dude named Dusty Puckett.
Dusty Puckett. Wow.
He's fighting some dudes that are like 38-50, 39-51, 49-11. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, imagine being like 0-0 and having to fight this dude.
I mean, he's fought a lot of 0-0 guys and he beat them all. He went on a streak of like 15 fights, man. They're like nearly all 0-0 guys.
Remember the name Travis Fulton out there, everybody. This guy is someone to
Guy's
look
a
for.
beast, man.
Now, did you notice how old he was? And then we'll get back to this.
He died in 2021.
Oh,
He was
man.
born in 1977. That's why he's not in the UFC, because he's dead. But
Makes sense.
1977 to 2021, he was only like, what, is that like 50? 40, 40 something.
I don't
Late
know. Oh,
40s.
yeah. Yeah, his last fight was in 2019. Well, that's sad.
Yeah, hopefully it wasn't
Related
like
to.
brain damage and shit. Yeah.
Well, we can look it up real quick.
That is, I'm glad we got to honor this dude. Because that is the most insane record I've ever seen in my life.
Let's see. Oh, never mind. Fuck this guy. While in custody for the child pornography charges, Fulton at age 44 was found dead. Fuck him.
Yeah, well, fuck him.
Yeah, good.
But
Burn in hell,
he got,
motherfucker.
yeah.
We changed our tune real quick on that, huh? Yeah,
Yeah.
fuck this guy.
Legend in fighting and not in life.
We're all saying, check this guy out. He's a fucking hero. You go look him one thing, the
Nope.
first thing is that, yeah, he's a child pornographer. Okay, well, never mind.
That was what a wild ride that was.
That was so
I
many
hope you I hope
emotions.
yeah, I hope some of you stayed with us for that one. That was a wonderful
Yeah.
ride, that.
Imagine someone canceling like or like stopping the show like right before we figure out that he's like, arrested for child porn and they're like telling all their friends about this dude, check this guy out. But yeah, man, I'm gonna have to go, dude. Ah, man. I forgot we were talking about Gon and the vampire here. Dude, it's so hard for me to go against Spivak, but everything in my body is telling me to go with Gon, so I'll go with Gon for the sake of this. I wanted to try to not get too spicy on this to try and keep it somewhat reasonable, so I don't want to pick too many dogs. So yeah, man, I've got my lineup all set here, and so do you. I'm gonna go Gon. I don't think it makes it to round four at all. Realistically, this could end in round one by either guy. Spivak could get him down to the ground and do what he does, and Gon can knock this dude out in one round too. So we'll see, man. I don't know. It's gonna be a good main. Like those last three fights are pretty dope. So we'll see what happens, man. But I don't know if there. I don't know if there's anything else that you wanted to get at before we get out of here. It's 11 my time. Usually this is past my bedtime here, but. I don't know if there's anything that you said we should keep an eye out for or anything like that.
Not this weekend, I don't think. And yeah, this isn't that exciting of a card, so I think next week's Australia, so that'll be pretty wild.
293.
Yeah, yep. But yeah, I got nothing. Burn in hell, Travis Fulton.
I guess, man. Shit. I mean, we for a second really thought he was a cool dude. And I kind of wanted to read more, but after we were talking about him, it just really kind of tripped me out. Like talking about how dope this dude is, and then child pornography. So yeah, that's not good. But maybe look into him, guys. Check out what this dude's life was about. And I mean, what if he got framed or some shit too? Like sometimes that
Yeah,
happens, man.
I did like I looked him up and it said, yeah, he was facing 70 years
So he just killed himself?
in terms. Well, possibly. I haven't looked that far into it. I'll have a look tonight. I'll see what went on with him, but I would assume from the details provided here that is what happened.
Okay. Well, I mean, if he did it, fuck him. And if not, thanks for all the fights, even though we haven't watched any
Pretty
of
much. Pretty
them.
much.
But yeah, man. Well, thanks for this one. It was a fun one. And I like these shorter ones, rifling through them real quick instead of going on for 2 or 3 hours like we have before. But yeah, man, good stuff. Good luck with your bets.
Yeah,
Unless,
cheers, man.
except for the ones you're going against me on. But yeah, man, this will be a fun one. I think we'll obviously talk and post the picks on Instagram and all that good stuff. And hopefully you guys will watch it with us. And if you're betting out there too, good luck. And until next time, everybody, take care and enjoy UFC Paris.
Peace.